First question, Gävle.
Hello. I'd like to ask you a question. In your lecture, you mentioned that, in particular, LHCb experiment may help us to understand why all observable particles are matter rather than antimatter, and they are constituent. Can you please explain that, and also explain what features of the detector?
Well, we will have tomorrow actually a lecture by the LHCb spokesperson, by Guy Wilkinson. So I think I leave that for him tomorrow to cover really the physics of LHCb and measuring the symmetry between matter, antimatter, and other symmetry. So I think it's I leave this.
Wait a minute, but if you refer to Bertolucci, he won't be in tomorrow.
No, but Wilkinson is here.
Oh. Yeah.
Campbell. Hello. Hi, Sarah Campbell, Columbia University. I noticed several times. Hi.
Okay.
several times in your talk, there were examples where a project expanded in scope as part of the review or project development process. First, famously, with Tsukiki and LEP being 27 kilometers, but also with ATLAS going from muons to including jets and tracking. In my experience, detectors or experiments have only become more focused as they go through review. I was wondering if you could speak about that work of broadening scope, or how you convince people to spend the extra money.
Well, that's a very, very good question. Of course, the main issue is that one has seen that the physics is much richer by broadening the scope. And in fact, having broadened the scope, for example, for the LHC experiments, they are making now much more precise and much more sophisticated measurements than what initially was foreseen in the 90s, even when the experiments were already concretely proposed. One would never have thought that, for example, we will make so much use of beat tagging in the general purpose experiments, just to give you one example, and so. And of course, based on this experience, we have become much more courageous for also the upgrades in a certain way. And what we actually pretend is that, and this is again valid for all the experiments, that during the with the upgraded experiments in a much harsher conditions of the machine, we will actually maintain the capability of the experiments, even improve them by having additional pixel layers, for example, things like that. But this is all really driven by the physics and as we.
Do you ever have the experience where people, where physicists push back because they're concerned that if you ask for too much, you might not get anything?
Well, yes, there is a big example like that is the SSC. I mean, there, unfortunately, in a way, it was asking for too much. There were many other reasons why it was cancelled and so. But yes, one can go too far. And in fact, we are in the beginning of the LHC, I think there was a much easier situation in a way to convince the funding agencies to finance the experiments. We were first given some kind of a ceilings of 300 million Swiss francs, and we were able to argue that you cannot do a good experiment with that. I flashed the letter of approval, there was a ceiling of 475 million Swiss francs given. So this, in a span of a few years, we were able to convince the funding agency to give this money. But there was also a climate of great expectation, and was fulfilled, of for the LHC. Now, I can comment that this is very much more difficult for the upgrades of the experiments, because it turns out that replacing essentially, if I just talk about Atlas CMS, the inner detectors replacing essentially all the electronics is very expensive. Is essentially, well, if I would want to be politically correct, I should say it's maybe like a little bit less than 50% of the initial cost. If I am realistic, it's maybe even more than 50% of the initial cost. And to convince in this present climate the funding agencies to provide these resources is not easy. And I think in all the collaborations, there's a process of discussing and seeing how far you can really go, how much we may need to make compromises, in other words. But yes, this is a very crucial question, how to bring in the resources for the experiments. I will say a bit more about that on Sunday in my lecture.
Peter, somehow in your talk, especially when you're talking about Llewellyn Smith's missing magnet scheme, and all of a sudden money came to the detectors, didn't that have a lot to do with the cancellation of the SSC and the fact that the booby prize that we all got in the U.S. was a lot of money to come work at CERN, which is great for everyone, but didn't that have a lot to do with some of this stuff?
To some extent, this certainly helped. I mean, it was very crucial that there was resources for the machine, but also for the experiment coming from non-member states. We would have had to start with staged detectors if we would not have had a strong participation from the U.S., but not only the U.S., then Japan and many other countries which contributed. So it was the resources, but also the people. Then I mean, and that's the intellectual input and the expertise for making the detector better. That certainly is true.
Okay. Any more questions in the room?
There will be a lot of room for informal questions this evening.
Okay, so if not, we can thank the speaker.